You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You can tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in a city like Russell's career. It's Raining J's. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to a new Locked On Celtics podcast with a new open from our boy Millie's. Jay King with me tonight. Jay, it's fresh, it's nice, I like it.
We are now officially the Bill Russell of the podcast camp.
That's so awesome.
That's kind of what I've always wanted to be in life.
Yeah.
Bill Russell of the podcast game. Like, but I also want to stress how cool it is that Millie's wants to update the song every season.
Are you kidding me?
It's and awesome. Sometimes twice. Like, this is a guy who has songs with Jadakiss. This is a guy who has been on SportsCenter. This is a guy who just had an album with Static Selecta and is, like, climbing in the music industry. And I got a text out of the blue today, like, yo, I just finished the podcast intro. And I didn't press him on it. I'll never press him on it.
No, never, ever.
He just wants to do it, and it's awesome that he does it, and I'm thrilled every time he does it. But it's really, really cool that he does it. And he still calls us the Raining J's, which is awesome.
Yes.
He's been there from the start, from literally when we just formulated a podcast out of the blue, I don't know how many years ago. So
it's been shout a while.
That's still really cool to me that Millie's wants to do that. Like, that is really, really dope.
Absolutely. I mean, it's
and every year it's awesome.
It's awesome.
And every time it's so good.
I feel like this one is a lot less specific to the team. I think this one's built to kind of last for a little bit. Just in case he doesn't want to have to keep updating, because he's getting a lot busier now. So I appreciate that. I mean, I'm sure he's like, okay, I got it. In case we need to have this update, like, the next updated podcast intro should come, like, post-championship. After that, I think, because that's the only update, because right now, I think he references the 18th. Yeah, Locked On, trying to get that 18th ring. So the next updated podcast intro will have to be the 19th ring. So, but look, it's amazing that, even now, like you said, I'm never going to press the guy on it. I just think it's amazing that he wants to do it. That he even wanted to do it in the first place was amazing. So I think thanks to Millie's, man. This is awesome.
It's dope. And I listen to his music all the time. Like, yeah. It's really, really good. I loved his recent album with Static Selecta.
It was good.
Fantastic. So everyone should search for Millie's on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you listen to music. And go listen to his music, because it really, really is good, as you can probably tell by the podcast intro, which is hot fire every single season.
Yeah. So thanks to Millie's for that. Everybody's been clamoring for it. Now you got it. So new season, new podcast intro, and new questions about this team. We'll get into all of that. Kyrie Irving talking about the flat earth stuff again, hopefully putting that to bed, but then just opening up another can of worms. But some practice notes from today, we'll talk about that. And the most intense basketball that we've seen in two preseason games actually came from today's practice. There was some really wild stuff going on there. We'll talk about that. But first, Jay King, you haven't had a chance to talk about the two games that we saw. You wrote about the Celtics offense today on The Athletic. The Celtics offense is kind of the big talking point because they've put up a lot of points. They had a 37-point quarter. They had a 40-point quarter. They're putting up 100 shots a game over the first couple of games. So there's a lot to get to about this offense. So let's get your impressions so far after two preseason games.
I think the first most important impression is that Gordon Hayward isn't quite Gordon Hayward yet.
Right.
And I don't think that's like, it's not a concerning thing. It's not something to be worried about long term. All the doctors have stressed to Hayward, to Brad Stevens, to the Celtics that Hayward's going to be totally fine. He's going to be the player that he was before. He's going to return to 100% health. It's going to be okay. This is just a process. Like, he only started playing 5-on-5 less than a month ago, I think. And this is all new to him. He's just kind of regaining his powers slowly but surely. And you saw it with the chase down block. You saw it with the and one finish through contact. You saw it with some of the moves he made off the pick and roll in the second half. Like, he's coming together quickly, but he's definitely not the Gordon Hayward that the Celtics signed a year ago. He's not quite back to 100%. I don't know how long it will take him to get there, but that's something that he's going to have to figure out. It's something that he'll kind of have to strengthen and get back. So I think that's obviously the most important takeaway. Other than that, I mean, there's so much talent on the court with the Celtics.
Yeah. Hey, before we get to that, I want to ask you a question about Hayward.
Okay.
Because on that chase down block, he landed awkwardly. Like, it's almost like he landed and was afraid of how he was landing, because he sort of tiptoed. No one's really talking about that. Did that come up post game at all?
No. He's kind of said that he has no fear, that it's not something that's kind of that he's thought of. I don't know if he looks hesitant with his movements. It's just like he doesn't have all the force that he used to. And I think the biggest sign of that, the biggest evidence of that, was probably when he cut back door. I think it was Kemba Walker guarding him in the first game. And like, he would have dunked that. He caught a pass mm-hmm. right near the rim, would have dunked it. He went up with like a weak left-handed shot and ended up getting fouled. But like, that, he's a high flyer. He's a super athlete. He's going to be dunking that once he gets right. So there are just some movements that the timing isn't right. The explosiveness isn't fully there. I don't think it's a fear thing. I think he's okay. Like, if it was a fear thing, he's not going to go up and go for that chase
right,
down block.
Right.
Like, it's just not something he's going to do. That was just an instinctual thing. So I don't think that's anything to be worried about. But it's obvious already what he'll kind of open up for the Celtics. And I mean, how many threes did he open up in the second game for the Celtics? Like, 5 or 6 wide open threes, including one for Kyrie Irving late in the shot clock, at least a couple for Jason Tatum. Like, he is going to get guys quality shots, and he's such a good passer, and he's so smart. And the Celtics missed him on a couple of cuts when he probably should have gotten the ball and gotten a layup, and that would have kind of helped him out. But it's obvious already. And then the other thing, the other takeaway from these first couple games, Celtics are just launching threes.
Oh my
God. And it's not a bad thing at all. I think it's a great thing. I think the fact that they're launching this many threes, and most of them are quality looks. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's not like they're launching contested threes all the time, or they're getting 3-point shots from bad shooters. Like, they have good shooters shooting pretty open shots, and they haven't made a lot yet. They've only had like 4 or 5 practices, whatever. The bigger thing is they're shooting them. And when you sub in, when you replace Gordon Hayward for Aaron Baines in the starting lineup, that is going to just open up everything. And I think we've seen that in the first couple games. I think it's very obvious that their offense should be elite. And if it's not elite, that's a major disappointment. And I don't know what elite means. Does that mean top 10 offense? Does it mean top 5 offense? I'm not sure. But it's obvious, very, very obvious, that Gordon Hayward just opens things up. And playing small basically all the time, which they've done through the first 2 games, and which I think they're going to continue to do all season, is going to really open things up. And I mean, at this point of the preseason, it's like there's not much else to learn. we know what the Celtics are. It's a weird preseason in the sense that there really isn't much left to learn. Like, Robert Williams we could probably learn more about him, and I'm sure we will over the last couple of preseason games. Gershon Yabusele, same thing. But for the most part, like, we know what these Celtics are. We know what they're going to do. We know what the possibilities are for them. And I think the first two games, like, they clearly have a lot of things to work on. They've just had a couple 2 days of practices. Like, these games came so damn early in the schedule. It really is crazy. So they have a lot to work on, but everything is – the glimpses are already there, and the potential is super obvious already.
Well, this plays into a Jaylen Brown quote from your piece on The Athletic. So if you guys aren't reading The Athletic on a regular basis, if you're not subscribing, you should be doing that, because here's a quote from Jaylen Brown, which I love. I think we still haven't found, like, really any sort of chemistry out there. We're scoring off just ability, but I don't think we have chemistry yet, but we'll figure it out as it goes. It just comes with building a relationship with guys and continuing that forward. I love the line, we're scoring off just ability. Like, yeah, we're all just good. And we're all good at scoring.
This shit comes easy to us, bro.
Right. Like, okay, here, it's your turn. And the one thing I've been hammering on in the first week of our podcast, after Friday, Saturday here, Sunday, Celtics are well positioned when they have their full starting lineup to run. And I've been calling it like the grab and go Celtics, where they, whenever there's a rebound, whoever gets the rebound just turns and goes. There's no holding it up above your head and looking for an outlet pass. There's none of that. There's just Jaylen rebounds it, boom, turn around, dribble, go. And then if there's somebody up ahead to push it to, then go ahead and push it. But it's anybody, all five guys, when Horford's out there with the rest of those wings and Kyrie, all five guys can just grab it, go, and then that puts a lot of pressure on the defense. There, you get a ton of cross matches. There's confusion. And then Sam and I were talking about it last night. All you do is set a little drag screen up at the top, and then you've got yourself a ton of wide open possibilities. And guys are getting clean looks at threes, clean drives to the lane at the 16-second mark in the shot clock, which is great. And they're not even moving the ball around. They're just pushing it. And a lot of times the guy who brings it up just finds a lane and finds a space to take a good shot. They're good shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to guard five dudes who can all shoot very well, and not only shoot very well, but beat you off the bounce if you close out too hard. So I think they should be really good in transition. They have the talent to be. They weren't last year. And that's what's weird about kind of thinking about what this Celtics team is going to be, because all the evidence we had from last year is like they were a mediocre offense. They struggled to find good shots. They didn't earn a lot of trips to the free throw line. Their transition sucked. like they were, I think, 10th in three-point attempts, which they would like to definitely improve. They would like to take more three-point attempts. But also it's like, okay, Gordon Hayward's coming back, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are a year older, and Terry Rozier is super comfortable now, and Marcus Morris is in clearly better shape. Like, this could be a team that scores a whole freaking lot of points. So it's tough to kind of predict what they'll be, because right now it's just all possibilities.
Right.
And like, we can see glimpses of it. And like, even just thinking about what they should do, it's very obvious that they should score a lot of points, but we haven't seen it yet. And they still kind of have to prove that. But I'm very much not worried about their offense. I think they're going to score a lot of points.
Look at the guys that are markedly different this year. Just going down, Jason Tatum, markedly different this year because he's got a year under his belt. He came in somewhat timid rookie, you know, deferring a lot this year.
I will say he's taken too many mid-range pull-ups early in the shot clock through two games of preseason. Not that ultimately will matter, but if that becomes a trend, it will matter.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit last night. I'd be shocked if Brad Stevens allows that to become a trend. Jaylen Brown obviously taking a step forward. Kyrie Irving coming in. He's different this year because he doesn't have that thing in his knee. He doesn't have that trade in coming to a new team. That's a much different start for him.
He looks in great shape too. Like he's cut up.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about that. Like I think he's probably had a chance to focus on that a little bit because the surgery has put him a little bit behind, I think, on his conditioning, but the rest, you know, hey, look, if he's in the weight room or doing whatever, then great. So, but he seems comfortable. He seems like in a different, not a different person, but he definitely seems like he's in a much different place this year compared to last year. Terry Rozier, definitely in a different place because last year there was uncertainty, and yes, this year there's uncertainty, but he just led the team to a deep playoff run. He was the starter for that. Marcus Morris last year at this time was coming off a trial and he came in and he was hurt. So that's different. Marcus Smart, new contract. All of these guys have just settled a lot of things that were uncertain last year.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that they won 16 games, a 16 game winning streak as early in the season as they did.
Right.
Like after Hayward got hurt, like you said, Morris was dealing with the knee in the trial. And Jason Tatum was a rookie, and Jaylen Brown had barely played, not barely played, but didn't play too much his rookie year. And
he was getting benched his rookie year regularly.
And so many guys were new, and it was like, oh, here's a 16-game winning streak. What in the hell? Like, that was stunning. When Hayward went down, I thought they were going to be like, fifth, sixth, seventh seed, something like that.
Right.
And then it was like, nah, bro, 16-game winning streak.
Nah, man. We got this. So look, this team is definitely in a much better spot than they were a year ago, even with these same guys, because it's not the same guys. Like it's the same people, but they're not the same players. They're better players than they were a year ago. And that's, I think, the key to all of this. They're all much better. They've got that year under their belt. Not only are they improving individually, they've got that year under Brad, playing with each other. Now they kind of know a lot more about how to play with one another. So it all just works, you know.
The first couple of preseason, it's just preseason. It's been obviously they haven't hardly had any practice. They've kind of done like your turn, my turn type stuff.
Yeah,
it hasn't been cohesive at all. And I mean, it's not time to worry about that at all. It's literally like training or media day was a week ago. it's not time to worry. They still have a couple weeks till even the regular season opener. Never mind, you know,
right,
82 games until the playoffs when things will really start mattering for them. But it is something to watch because I do think the dynamic of having so many really good players and especially so many really good young players who are still trying to prove themselves in the league. I think like the key for the Celtics this year will be sacrificing for the team and making sure that every time down they get good shots and they're playing the type of defense they did last year and they're not worried about any individual accolades or anything like that because they have a lot of players who could and who will know that in another situation they would get a lot more touches, they would score a lot more points, and they would have maybe, you know, a lot more accolades and everything like that. So I do think that's something to just keep an eye on. I don't think it's a huge worry because Brad Stevens is great, and the players have all been team first in the past, but it's definitely a dynamic that's interesting at the very least about this team.
Well, it is. It very much is. So we'll see how that plays out a little bit more. It's so early, like you said. So we're going to move on to what happened at practice on Monday, right after I tell everybody that the Locked On NFL podcast is becoming everybody's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Monday, local experts on the biggest story, just like we do on Locked On NBA. Tuesday, the former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday, Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Thursday, Mike Sando of ESPN. Friday, Matt's Picks. So go tune into the Locked On NFL podcast. Search for that wherever you got our podcast. It is available everywhere. So today, the assembled media at the Celtics practice facility started in the afternoon tweeting out a couple of videos of the end of Celtics practice. And that was the most intense basketball I've seen since the preseason started. I couldn't tell who was it that plowed directly through Aaron Baines on a pick. Was that Kyrie?
No, I don't think it was Kyrie. I'm not sure who it was.
Somebody trucked right through him.
Truck Baines, and then Rozier got run over while he was hitting a three. And then the next play, Marcus Morris and Kyrie were just losing their shit over a call or non-call or whatever it was. I was dying laughing because we watched the media was literally allowed to watch two plays, and it was just ultimate chaos, and it was fantastic to watch. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Those guys, I mean, really intense. Like, they were heated when it was. It was a lot of craziness. I think Yabusele missed the three, and Baines was going to put it, you know, for a putback, and then Rozier swooped in for a finish at the buzzer, and just pandemonium. Bodies on the floor, Mook going crazy, Kyrie going crazy, just, Brad Stevens just waving everything all like, it's over, forget it, it's over, everybody bring it in. I just thought it was funny to see those guys, just the competitiveness. These practices are going to be harder than some games that they face. Like, when they play the Hawks, they're not going to get this level of intensity. Although Trae Young threw some insane passes tonight.
I was just going to say, Trae Young's about to bust their ass.
Trae Young can pass the hell out of the ball. But anyway, that was fun to see. And then during after the practice, I should say, the big quote came from Brad Stevens, who said that he's going to try and find all the minutes that he could for Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier works as hard as anybody on the team, and he's tremendous, and we've just got to find minutes for Terry Rozier, which is going to be one of the most difficult things that Brad Stevens can do. It's easy to get Terry Rozier minutes in these preseason games, but when he's not limiting everybody to 20 minutes, Terry Rozier is going to be in a crunch, so I don't know how he's going to find those minutes unless he goes super, super small and plays Smart and Rozier and Kyrie together, which I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah, I think there will certainly be times when he does that. But, I mean, you look at the minutes, and the starting five's all going to play probably more than 30 minutes a game, right?
At least 30.
Yeah, then you got Aaron Baines, who's going to play backup five. Daniel Tice, who will play some backup five, maybe a little four. Marcus Morris, who will play a lot of four. Marcus Smart, who's always been a favorite of Stevens and who always finds his way into the closing lineup, although he might not this year. And then Rozier, it's hard to envision Rozier getting many more than 20 minutes. It really is, even though obviously they have a lot of respect for him and what he did and what he accomplished last season. And his potential moving forward. I've been interested by the way Stevens has kind of handled that. It almost seems like he knows Terry Rozier. That's a situation that could be delicate. And that Rozier, after all he accomplished last year and coming in from all accounts, he's had a quality training camp and he's been really good in the preseason games. Like, he knows in other situations he could get a lot more playing time. He could be score a lot of points. Last year he was starting for a team that almost reached the finals. And so Brad, it almost feels like he's gone out of his way to praise Terry and Marcus Morris to a certain extent too. And one of his answers, you know, he said, everybody in the NBA, coaches, players, everybody knows what those guys can do. And it just seems like he's trying to guide that conversation in a certain direction to maybe let those guys know that they're as appreciated as possible.
Right.
Which Stevens has always handled the press. Like, he's always very calculated with things he says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a tactic, you know, we're going to try to get him as many minutes as possible. Like, yeah, of course you're going to try to get him on the court, but how many minutes is he really going to play? And I think that'll be interesting to see how much does he play alongside Kyrie? How much does he play alongside Kyrie and Smart? How small are these Celtics going to go? We'll see. But obviously, Terry Rozier is going to be a big piece, and Marcus Smart is going to be a big piece, and Marcus Morris is going to be a big piece. And the bench with attitude has a lot of
Well, look, the math is not in Terry Rozier's favor. There's five positions. There's 48 minutes a game. That's 240 minutes that will be played combined by five players. If the starters all play 30 minutes, and 30 minutes is low, but if we round it down to 30 minutes for five starters, 150 minutes, there's 90 minutes left for guys on the bench. That means four guys can play 15 minutes each. So you've got Smart, you got Rozier, you've got Baines, you got Marcus Morris. If all four of those guys play 15 minutes, that's it. There's no more minutes to be played. So we haven't touched any of the other guys on the bench. And that's not a lot. It's just not a lot. Marcus Smart's going to play more than 15 minutes a game. We know that to be true. And does that mean that where do those minutes come from? It's going to be hard. Like, is Baines going to be the guy that's going to be out? I don't know.
I don't think so. it'll all depend on how things go. But I think Baines is obviously going to have a role as a backup center, and I think Tice will play alongside him sometime.
Right.
I do think the Celtics will try to go pretty small sometimes and at least experiment with going really small with Kyrie and Terry and even Smart sometimes and just see how those lineups go. I think that's one thing Brad will experiment with and just see what the numbers look like. And there's always a lineup that he keeps trying for like half a season, even though it doesn't do well. And he just keeps trying and trying and trying, and just to see if it'll turn up. And I feel like the small lineups is something he's going to go to, even if it's not good. And hell, maybe it will be. Obviously, you put Terry Rozier and Kyrie Irving out there, teams are going to struggle to guard those guys.
Right.
And Marcus Smart can guard damn near anybody. But I do think that's one of those lineups he'll try to jam out there no matter what. And just to try to get Smart and Rozier minutes, because those guys, especially Terry, I think I do think that's a delicate situation. And it's very rare that a guy goes through a playoffs and averages 16-5-5 and then comes back the next year and knows for a fact he has no chance of being in the starting lineup. That just never happens. And especially with a guy as young as Terry Rozier, it just never happens. It's such a rare situation. So that's another part of the interesting dynamic I was talking about earlier. Like there's just a lot of things like that going on with the Celtics where guys will need to realize like, okay, I'm behind Kyrie Irving. They're not trying to screw me. It's just I'm behind a really damn good player. So
that's all it is. Like we're not even talking about not starting. We're talking about how can we find 15 minutes a game for him? Because right. Kyrie Irving, he's not going to take minutes away from Kyrie Irving. Marcus Smart, you're not going to take minutes away from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's out there to do a specific job, and everybody knows that you need him out there. So, like I said, the numbers are what they are. There's only so many minutes in a game. There's only 240 minutes to be played in a game combined. So, there's just a crunch. There's somehow, some way, either Smart, Rozier, Baines, Morris, one of those guys is going to have a significantly reduced role. And it may depend on the night. It may depend on who's having a good stretch or a bad stretch. Who knows? Injuries, rest, whatever. But it's hard. I don't know how you figure out the minutes. I know it's supposed to be a good problem to have, but it's still a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a good problem to have. And you didn't even say Tice there.
You didn't even
say Robert Williams, the first round pick, and you didn't say
Shemi Ojeleye,
who started playoff games to guard Giannis, whatever the hell his last name is. I can never say it.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, that guy. I was on a radio show And I started saying his name, and I was like, oh, shit. And I just ended up calling him the Greek Freak. And then I got a lot of shit from the host.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, I just can't say it. No matter how many times I hear it, it just doesn't work for me. It's just one of those words I just will never be able to pronounce, no matter what.
Oh, boy.
So, fantastic stuff.
All right. We'll figure out the minutes at another time. But, yeah, that's just going to be a thing that we're going to have to watch. And we've talked about it a lot, but it continues to be there. And Brad Stevens addressed it at practice today, Monday. So before we move on to Kyrie and what Kyrie said, I want to remind everybody that the Locked On NBA podcast has spent the entire summer and offseason spending every Monday through Friday giving you content, giving you a podcast. I participate by hosting, co-hosting the Wednesday show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. So I hope you are intrigued enough to subscribe to the show, at least listen for one day a week. But you should be listening to all 5 days because the Locked On NBA podcast is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, it's the local experts on the biggest stories. I was there on this past Monday show talking about Hayward and Kyrie, so go check that out. Then stay with Locked On NBA all week with daily 30-minute podcasts on everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Kyrie Irving probably not going to have a smart speaker, at least not when he retires and 30 years from now is living on a commune in the middle of Texas with no technology, because that apparently is something that he wants to do. He was speaking at an under 30 summit today, and amongst the things that he said was that technology is killing me, you guys. And he has to, when in 10, 20, 30 years, whenever his career is over, be like, I'm out. I'm moving to the middle of nowhere. No power, no electricity, no technology. Fun.
It would be more fun if he didn't just say a couple months ago that he wants to own a major television network.
Right.
So I don't know whether Kyrie's just messing around or whatever the case may be. I get a kick out of Kyrie, man.
You just can't take it seriously. You can't take it seriously. Some people take it very seriously.
He goes from, I'm going to run a major television network to, yeah, I'm going to be totally off the grid. You guys won't hear from me ever again.
Yeah.
And it's just,
the guy just started a movie. He talks about all this stuff, and then he's just going to disappear. Uh-huh. Right. He did apologize for the flat earth stuff, which was nice, and hopefully that puts everything to bed, but it won't. There are people who are going to be like, nope, I'm just – once you say something like that, that's always going to be with you. You're forever going
to
be the flat earth guy.
I need the flat earth stuff to just die out.
I know.
Just stop asking him questions about the fucking flat earth. You know how – You know how we get him to stop talking about the flat earth? Just don't fucking talk to him about it. Just don't ask him. Just don't ask him a question. That's all it fucking takes, people.
Jake King fired up F-bomb central.
No, it's so damn stupid. It's like, why does Kyrie keep talking about the flat earth? Well, because assholes keep asking him about it every time he turns around.
No, that's true. Because you know why? Because it gives people content. This is this is like the thing, like, you know, that it's easy clicks. It's easy content. It's easy.
This was like a Forbes 30 under 30 thing. Why the hell do you need to know what Kyrie thinks about the flat earth? There is zero need to know what he thinks about the flat earth. Zero. It doesn't matter. It means nothing.
But,
and yet he talks about it, and it makes headlines everywhere, and Yahoo shares it, and Deadspin shares it, and it's just such a stupid cycle. All these stupid damn people.
But it always starts the same way. Well, Kyrie, you know, I got to ask you about this. It's like, no, you don't. You do not.
You can literally decide what you ask Kyrie Irving.
Right.
You don't have to ask him. About
you don't have to ask him anything. You know, Kyrie, everybody wants to know. No, we're done. Like, but at least today he took a different approach. he apologized, said, sorry, science teachers, that you had to like redo your curriculum because I'm a student's favorite player.
He was really funny about it in the answer, actually.
Yeah, he was.
That was probably like the most that was relatable, Kyrie. Like shit, I was just feeling the conspiracy theories back then.
Right.
You guys have all seen videos and just been like, yeah, man, I don't know about that flat earth stuff. It might actually be flat. And it's true. Like I am easily swayed by videos. I will watch a video and be like, oh man, that conspiracy theory is right. And then I'll see some facts and be like, okay, fine. It wasn't. But totally relatable, Kyrie. That was highly relatable, Kyrie. I'm in on relatable Kyrie.
Well, it's good that he's relatable, I guess. It's just, I don't know. He said these things and that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
He said these things. There's nothing else to talk about. It's just that, you know, he said.
He also keeps stressing that he's hasn't been happy playing basketball before. Or hasn't been very happy playing basketball before, which I continue to think that's super interesting.
He did say, and he did have a comment about not enjoying the game-winning shot that he hit against the Warriors a couple years ago, because at that point he was just like, you know, I want to go home. I want to hug my dad. I want to hug my sister, and that's it. And I didn't appreciate that. It was pretty cool, but I didn't appreciate that in the moment. So yeah, it's actually good that you bring that up. Because it's a wild thing. Like, it just goes to show, like Kyrie is a unique individual. He thinks about things differently. He just doesn't see the world the way you or I do. And it's super just interesting. And
yeah, and this quote was the one that stood out to me from Gary Washburn, who did a great job covering the event. This is probably one of the few times I've been happy playing basketball. And being in Boston has made it a lot easier, having a great environment, great organization. So it's been awesome. And throw out the part about Boston being a great organization. This is probably one of the few times I've been happy playing basketball. Like this is a guy who's been obsessed with basketball his whole life, who developed maybe the greatest ball handling ever through like super hard work as a child, and then became the number one pick and has always obviously been a super dedicated basketball player. This is probably one of the few times I've been happy playing basketball. Like
it's wild.
It's wild. And so that's the most interesting stuff to me. Like, and now he's happy, which is cool. It's nice that he's happy, but it's just really interesting that he hasn't been happy playing basketball in the past and that he's kind of had a cloud over him before.
It's hard to understand because we just talked about Marcus Smart saying that basketball is his kind of sanctuary and basketball is where we all go. We both, you and I have talked about it before. It's a basketball court. When the world is crashing down around you, being on a basketball court, shooting around is just this nice, peaceful place. And it might be for Kyrie as well, but for him to say it's the first time I've been happy playing basketball, it just goes to show the things that he's been through. You can go back. I mean, I don't know what his high school was like, but you know, he went to Duke and he got hurt, and then he went to the Cavaliers, and that was kind of a bad situation where they weren't good, and it's hard to be in that type of situation, especially with Dan Gilbert as your owner. Then LeBron comes into the picture, and now you're good, but he clearly didn't enjoy being in that situation with LeBron, where a reporter asks him, has he been like a father figure to you? Like, that's not fun. So I guess if you look back on it, you can see like, yeah, I can see why being hurt in college, there's no fun there. And being in Cleveland when they sucked and trying to play with LeBron and when you don't get along with him or you just don't like that situation. I can see it for however long. Like I said, I don't know before that high school or whatever, what that was like, but he hasn't been in a lot of great situations up until now. This is the most stable that he's been. And if he does sign long-term, then he's got that one thing that's hanging out there would be kind of put to rest. So he would have a long-term contract, a coach that he calls a genius, a good team, guys that he apparently likes playing with, and he's happy. He's like, it's hard to understand at first, but when you think about it, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I do think that's just like super. Every time he says something like that, it grabs my attention. It really does. It's just, oh,
yeah. All right. It is interesting.
I can't remember another basketball player openly saying like, yeah, I was just unhappy playing basketball for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe Evan Turner, I guess, said that when he got to Boston, it kind of returned his joy for the game. That was another one. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of minimized in other places. Like Kyrie's always had success. He's always been great from the time he stepped into the NBA. Like he's been fantastic. And so it's interesting that he just didn't love it for a while.
Yeah.
So that's a lot more interesting than the flat earth bullshit.
Yeah.
All these damn people ask about.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Before we go, last thing I want to mention, Markieff Morris got thrown out of a preseason game, which is awesome.
Love it.
Which
Love
is
it.
Awesome. And I liked your tweet, Jay. You know how this goes. That Marcus Morris is getting tossed tomorrow night. Well, tonight, Tuesday night, when you listen to the show. But there's these guys do everything together, so Marcus Morris is 100% getting tossed.
Hold on. We got a tweet from Fred Katz. Markieff Morris on his altercation with Mitchell Robinson and getting tossed. This stupid-ass rookie talking too much, and obviously I didn't like what he said.
Oh.
This stupid-ass rookie talking too much. I love the Morris twins, man.
They are
great entertainment. They say it like it is. They don't care. And
they do not care. That is the truest thing you could say about anybody. The Morris twins do not care.
They don't.
They do.
I mean, he almost got ejected. Marcus almost got ejected from practice. So maybe that was the twin thing. Like he was yapping at officials at practice, and then Marcus got tossed of his game later that night. So that might have been a twin.
Can you imagine if Marcus Morris got double teched and tossed out of a practice? That'd be amazing.
Especially right at the very, like literally the last play of practice. That would have been incredible.
That would have been amazing. All right. That's the show. We hope you enjoyed our little podcast, especially the fresh new intro from Millie's. Once again, thanks to Millie's for dropping that on us tonight. As always, if you're a new listener, I want to say welcome aboard. I know that our numbers, we just got some statistics. Since the season started, our numbers have doubled, like literally doubled. So everybody's coming back. And with all of the people coming back, welcome back. Thanks for listening. Glad that you're back on board. Hope you had a nice little summer. Anybody who's new, hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Search for however you got the podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics everywhere podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. If you are a subscriber, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating. Give us a good review. And be sure when we tweet to retweet and share. Tell everybody. Listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.